Hey, hey, come catch this wave with the Fix Squad. The fix is in. I'm Mr. Soul. I'm tuning in. What you doing?
Got him. Look, real hip-hop revealed that it fits. Pure, you can feel it in the mix. Finally stop pushing the culture forward. This is it. Proceed at your own risk. Got him. Beats, bars, and life, giving them truth in it. Screaming revolution when only a few minutes. My sentiments exactly everything that we do clutch. Another reason to turn the volume up. Sheesh, know what we stand on. Solid ground where we land. Say it's no use, the culture was out of hand. But now out of reach, we gotta stick to the plan. Dark days for the sunshine. Any good news, I'm proof that it's living. Yeah, revolving the art, the shot go with it. Keep it a beat, so the plot don't miss it. Welcome
to the city, stand up. James left, but the king still reigns here. No tears, no love lost, no rain here. Delivers, I promise, Santa rain here. Love for the city still resides here. Fix for your ailment, faith that resides outside the lines. Detox your mind, cause it matters. Art outside the box, we pace better. The fix is in, and we rock a channel. We rock with them for what's deep within. Expose those who talk but don't live. Expose those who talk but don't live. Take offense. Judge by the fruit from the tree. But if the fruit tastes like the streets, and money is the fruit that they speak, so tell me whose face do they see? Repeat. Take offense. Judge by the fruit from the tree. But if the fruit tastes like the streets, and money is the fruit that they seek, so tell me whose face do they seek?
Welcome back, family. You're now tuned into The Fix, your source for faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry, right here on Sirius XM, Channel 154, Holy Culture Radio. It's your boy, DJ Focus, checking in.
Hey, and it's your girl, Dice Gamble, in the building, checking in on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. Listen, we get to do it again. I hope you had a great weekend. I know we did. Enjoyed that weather. Beautiful. All right, and now it's time to get back to it. All things dummies.
Yeah, listen, we already was been back to it. Let's be very clear. The Fix was in the building this past weekend. 1K Few, okay. 1K Few Bash in Atlanta was off the chain. When I tell you, Dice,
what happened?
You know, I always struggle with believers thinking we can't have fun if it's ain't, okay. You know, if it ain't no yak, if it ain't no marijuana, no pills. No. We have this in our culture. We have this issue in our mind that if we ain't drinking and smoking and, you know, cussing each other out and a little toxic stuff, that we can't have no fun. And when I tell you, we pulled up to Atlanta, and as soon as we walked in the building, the 1K Few Bash was off the chain. It was off the chain.
I know it was.
Everybody performed. Let's be very clear. K-Jo was in the building. Lecrae was in the building. Paris Careers was in the building. Big Breeze, Tiana Gunn, Big Rissa.
Listen,
Wande, Portia Love, Mike Teezy.
Okay.
You want me to keep going? Because I can keep going.
I mean, go ahead, because this is exciting.
Tori Deshawn was in the building. It was phenomenal. When I tell you, 1K Famo was there too as well, and it was exciting just to go network and build. Shouts out to Pastor Scott Free. He was in the building. Plain James, Flame. I keep going. I'm telling you. When I tell you, Willie Moore Jr. was in the building.
Willie Moore?
Yeah, not Willie Less. Let's be very clear. Yes. So, yes, shouts out to our brother, 1K Few. Definitely salute to you, brother, again. Happy birthday to you again. But, yeah, the 1K Bash was a smash. Let's be very clear. It was turned up, all the way turned up. And we had a great time. And, woo, that's why brother's still tired. I realized I was telling Dice off air. I realized I'm getting old, and it's okay.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, because it was like a day turnaround, Dice. We was there. We kicked it. We hung out all night.
Yeah.
And then we was like, oh, my wife and I looked at each other like, yeah, we got to get on a flight in about, a few hours. Don't you think we should get some sleep? And yeah. So, yeah, no sleep. And then, God told us, get off the flight and go right to church.
There we go.
So we got off the flight. We went right to church, got some word.
There you go.
And listen, we still act like we was rock stars. We was like, we probably should go to bed. Nah, let's go hang out.
Let's hang out.
So, yeah. So, yeah. I'm going to get some sleep today. Let's be very clear.
That's awesome.
But it was great. It was great to see so many amazing, not only Christian hip hop artists, like I say, network with some promoters and in the building. And just to see it packed. It was jam-packed, too, as well, Dice. That was the other thing. You elbow to elbow. Everybody was jumping around and shouting and singing all the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. So we're looking forward to it. Just continue to do on events like this. But I was like, I looked around. I was like, we're in a good space.
That's right.
We can turn up like this.
That's right.
And everybody, no fighting, no arguments, no nobody hating on each other. It was
now.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
I love it. I love it. I'm proud of our genre. I really am. That's why I was like, man, I think, you know, when we hear those stories of people like having these lonely moments or where they're not together, I'm like, man, you got to go. Yeah. Get your new team. You got to get your new team. You're just in the wrong spot because we really do hold each other down. So shout out to you folks out here in the streets going to turn up at parties. I'm excited for you and your wife. Nope. I better get out.
Mm-mm, no, you going to the next one. Listen, I'll put you on the spot. You'll be at the next one. The next invite, Dice Gamble is coming. So, yeah, focus went to his.
If they ain't got no snacks, I ain't coming. So you better have some food. If you that's the way you make it into my heart. Had snacks. As long as it's a bar that got snacks on it.
I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this fat kid situation with you. I am not going to do this little fat kid inside of you.
I know we got to get into the show, but this is a true story about me. Fun fact, I would go to people's weddings just for the cake growing up.
Wow.
Just find weddings to go to. It didn't matter what kind of wedding. It could be any kind of wedding. Jewish, Chinese. It was just like, just for the cake. Because, and this is how, yeah, I do have a little fat kid living inside of me. But let me be honest with you. You don't get wedding cake every day. So I have it's just something about wedding cake, man. It's different cake, you know, because people really put their whole everything into that cake. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So if I pop up at your wedding and you didn't invite me, now you know.
Listen, once again, you're tuned into The Fix. And of course, our mission is to expose the culture to positive but relevant music that keeps Jesus Christ at the center of the message. Listen, we got another fun-packed show for y'all. We're going to start this week off right. Let's be very clear. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Our spiritual detox today features, listen, an award-winning writer-director of the faith-based film Between Mercy and Me, our brother Craig Lamar Brown will be on with us today. So you definitely want to keep it locked for that exclusive spiritual detox with our brother Craig Lamar Brown. He got a lot to talk about. Like I said, he's the writer director of this faith-based film Between Mercy and Me, which, listen, it's a film. It's one of those films that's going to be a little controversial. Mm-hmm. He wants to deal with gentrification and social injustice and everything that goes into interracial dating from a faith perspective on how we should deal with it as believers. So yes, you want to keep it locked for that exclusive spiritual detox. And that real talk conversation is going to be different this morning. Listen, what's the church response to helping the homeless?
Ooh,
helping kids get out of foster care and get into a good loving home. So we're going to talk about it. Dice got some stats for you and got a lot of good stuff to bring up out of that real talk conversation. Keep it locked. You tune into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Welcome back, family. It's your boy DJ Focus checking back in. You're tuned into The Fix, your source for faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry right here on Sirius XM Channel 154, Holy Culture Radio. And it's time for our spiritual detox. And you guys are in for a treat today. We love the opportunity. You know, we talk with so many different artists all the time and producers, specifically in music. It's always a blessing to be able to speak with some super talented film directors and writers and everybody in faith-based films. I think faith-based films are not talked about enough, especially amongst us as believers. We should be behind these films. We should be pushing these films when they come out. We should be streaming them. We should be going to the movies to see them on a higher level because they represent what we believe and tell stories of just triumph, redemption, and everything that goes into us walking this walk each and every day. So listen, without further ado, help me welcome in a super talented writer, producer, director himself, Craig Brown. What's going on, bro?
How's it going, brother? Doing well over here, man.
That's good, man. That's good. Yeah, listen, we're glad and grateful to have you on with us this morning. You have a movie that's coming out that I think people need to see. They need to hear about. So I'm grateful for you to come on and talk about it. But, you know, first, before we get into everything you do with the movie that's getting ready to release next month, talk about a little bit of your give us the backstory of your faith story, kind of like how you developed your own personal relationship with Christ.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Glad to share that. So I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, in the inner city. I could probably say my story's pretty stereotypical. Just trying to be the tough guy, live that life. Fortunately, I had some a strong family support to make sure that really didn't happen. And I ended up giving my life over to Jesus at a camp, in a camp in ministry that was actually geared for inner city kids in Detroit. And since then, yeah, God has, you know, blazed a path for me to serve him and the community. And I would say the rest is history. So it just, you know, I've seen God's hand of grace over my life over the last, you know, 20 years since I've given my life over. So, yeah, that's a brief snapshot of my walk.
You know, I see, I was looking at your Instagram and everything, and you talk very highly, and you always got pictures of you and your wife and your family and everything. You know, speak to the importance of why family is so important to you. I think a lot of men, you know, sometimes are scared to talk about and be vulnerable, especially when you talk about marriage. We saw a lot of kingdom marriages crumble over the pandemic. I know we got the back end of it, but we saw a lot of kingdom marriages, you know, crumble for whatever reason. What's been that most important thing for you within your marriage and your family that just kind of keeps it together?
I think vision, you know, again, like I said, my story is kind of stereotypical. My dad wasn't around, raised by a single mom, just me and my brother. And, you know, she did everything she could, you know, to make sure we had the best shot, right? But as a husband and as a father now, I, of course, want to make sure that my kids have 100% of me and that I'm leading well. And I mean, that's one, that's a call from God for husbands to lead their families well, right? But to go even deeper, casting vision for my family, instead of just saying, you know, we work, come home, eat dinner, go to bed, repeat, you know, like we can very much get into that rhythm. But to actually say, hey, like God is trusting me with disciples. Like I have 5 kids and they're arrows and I want to be able to use them for his kingdom. So definitely having vision for one, what I believe God is calling my family to do. But also just what I personally wanted to see for them to impact the kingdom of heaven. So, yeah. And without vision, like there's only so much that I can give or only so far I can go. So just having a goal for my family ahead definitely makes it a lot better as I, you know, continue to lead.
Yeah, I agree. That's I appreciate you sharing that because you're absolutely right. You have to have a vision. You have to make it plain because a leader with no followers is just taking a walk.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And you're right. I believe everybody wants to get behind something that they know, they feel is going to move. So that's I appreciate you sharing that. So, you know, talk us through how did you even get into directing and writing for film? Like who inspired you to even do that?
Yeah, so I mean, growing up, I've always had a passion for the arts in general, music, storytelling, and, you know, I loved watching movies growing up. It's probably the thing I did the most, right? However, I didn't have, like, any outlets, like, in school to actually, you know, to pursue a career in, you know, film and television. But this actually... the reason I'm, you know, a writing director now is because of my day job that I had prior. So I was a software developer and I was working on a mobile streaming application for a producer out in LA. He had a role that he was auditioning people for in the movie, very small role. He said, hey, if you want to audition for this little small part in the film, I'd be great. Audition. He loved it. Gave me the lead role for the movie. And three weeks later, I fly to New York and LA to film the movie. And in that process, you know, I enjoy acting, but I think where my strength lies is in actually telling stories myself, writing and directing. So that naturally transitioned to me pursuing writing and directing. So yeah, it's really, it's been God's hand in it. It was just a big blessing to, you know, one, have the opportunity presented to actually, you know, pursue it full time. So yeah, that's how I got into directing films.
Has it ever been frustrating? I would have to imagine, you know, to your point, till you got this break, how long did it take for you to even be like, were you writing and acting on like on a regular before you got this big break? Like, we talk all the time about patience on the show and understanding, Listen, you got to wait. It's in God's time. It can just continue to be consistent and God will continue to bless you. Like, was there some frustrating points in between there where you were frustrated for like, God, I know you want me, you called me to do this, but this ain't happening quick enough.
Yeah. What's crazy? No, like that wasn't my story. And you know, I'm definitely used to the story of, you know, you grind, be patient, and, you know, whether it's in a career that I had before and, you know, just in life, right? You put in the work, you be patient, and you expect those frustrations to come, right? Those obstacles. For me and filmmaking, that just hasn't been my story. Like even from like building the app and then flying to New York to film my first ever feature and then producing it. And then like the moment I started to write and, you know, get funding for a feature film, I mean, the steps were very clear. And again, this is all, I can't say that this is anything that was done for my own strength and gifts and talents. I mean, I think the whole path that was clear for me to, you know, execute my gifts was all from God. I can't take any credit whatsoever because I look at my resume, it's like nothing. Like I didn't go to acting, I didn't go to film school. I was a software engineer, you know, turd, writer, director. So I look at the path to get here was definitely, it was all blazed by God and his perfect timing.
That's that favor. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I tell people all the time.
I'll take it.
When the favor of God is on you, you can't deny it. And that's when you know it's not you. So that's a beautiful thing. I talk about it all the time, too, because I feel like he's been over everything I've done already over the last 8 years. I can't take credit for it. It's all favor of God. Listen, it's Mental Health Awareness Month, and we always ask, you know, what do you do to keep your mental health intact? You know, you do so much. I mean, you have a beautiful family, a wife, you have five kids, you're a writer, you're a director, you know, you're into a little bit of everything. What keeps you with your mental space intact?
Exercise and meditation are my two biggest outlets, and finding time to be quiet. Something that we, as a family, started observing was, an actual Sabbath. So starting Friday night, phones off, computer off, no notifications. I get nothing. And until Saturday, the next evening, we observe the Sabbath. So there's like zero work whatsoever. It gives us time to rest, reflect, remember that like provision comes from God, not my own hands. And that helps mentally as well. I think it's kind of a beautiful natural consequence of just resting in what God said to do. Like, you know, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. And, you know, it's easy just to say, okay, you know, or, you know, Sunday we're, I'm not working this weekend, but, you know, there's a lot of things that come up in my life that is actually work. Work is answering the email and then that, having that change. So having like a clear space of say, hey, in this time frame, I'm resting is like a mental reset for me. Like depression, anxiety are two things that have played like my family. Therefore, like, you know, generation comes down, I get hit with it. So, over the last, I would say, decade, I've learned how to really deal with it, whether it's seeking therapy or just changing, making lifestyle changes. So, like watching what I eat, diet, exercise are really two quick ways where you can kind of take control of your mental well-being.
That's good. Listen, DJ Focus, you tuned into The Fix right here on Holy Culture Radio. We got to go to a quick break. Don't touch that dial. I promise you, we're coming right back with more from the super talented director, actor, as well as screenwriter, Craig Brown. Keep it locked. You tuned into The Fix. You know The Fix is in.
New videos, music, articles, devos, and more. Stay connected. Get the app now so you don't miss a thing. Visit holyculture.net.
Welcome back. Welcome back. DJ Focus. You're tuned back into The Fix right here on Holy Culture Radio, your source of faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. Listen, I got the super talented, award-winning producer, director on the line with me right here, Craig Brown. And let's talk about this hot film. It's a lot that goes into it. One, I really want to ask off the top, you could have went so many directions with this film. Why did you choose to make it faith-based? Like, because there's so many different storylines that play within this movie that we know are just issues that we deal with in corporate America daily. It doesn't matter where you are. We all love Jesus. I'm not saying you're not good for doing that, but what made you say, no, I want to make sure people know that this is a faith-based believer movie and how we navigate as believers through all these different things?
Dude, terrific question. So, you know, in the height of COVID 2020, the world was just on fire, right? Chaos. You have, you know, COVID, lockdowns, then you have the death of George Floyd, right? All in the midst of while we're, you know, sitting in our homes. And when that happened, I could, you know, clearly see that there was like a disconnect in regards to like how to have healthy conversations about race. If you looked at your social media feed, I saw a lot of Christians say some terrible things to each other, you know, whether you're white or black. And it was just, it was discouraging, right? It was a moment where the church could have been great leaders in this area, but we missed. Black or white, we just missed, right? If you were black, you were super angry and you let, I'm speaking for myself as well. Like, I was angry. I felt misunderstood. I felt unheard. I let people have it on social media. And I would see white brothers and sisters kind of do the same thing, give their stance. And it was just, you know, instead of us coming together, we were divided. So just like that, this terrible event kind of divided the church. And it was difficult, right? And there was no healthy way to have a conversation. So I saw that. And after, you know, praying and thinking, I'm like, okay, like there's obviously, you know, a disconnect here. What can I do to be a part of the solution? And that's why I wrote it as a faith-based movie, because, like, you know, this is something that, like, it was a layup, right? Like, we were supposed to be able to come out and lead this and say, hey, like, the rest of the world, look at us. But that's not the reality in the church. If you, depending on where you live, like, you can see a black church over in this neighborhood, a white church over in this neighborhood, all within half a mile, or, you know, having a predominantly black church here and a predominantly white church here, or right around the corner, you know? So, like, we could clearly see that, you know, we're not as unified as we think. But that's God's desire for the church. And I thought the best way to do that was through a love story that had a lot of music to help carry, you know, this heavily charged conversation. So that's why I decided to go to the faith-based route. And also, like, there's not a lot of black male leads, and I really wanted a chance to show the perspective from a black male and what his everyday life will look like for our white brothers and sisters to see. Because sometimes that is just a disconnect. They don't understand. And I wanted to make sure that it was represented well. And I think our lead, David Driscoll, did that.
You know, I appreciate you sharing that. And I'm glad that you brought that up when you talk about the church being segregated. And it's been an ongoing issue for too many years. Do you ever think that we'll get to a common place to where I'm glad you brought up something that we actually talked about last week on the show. We talked about what's your location. And the reason for that topic, we have these real talk topics that we talk about. Depending on where you stay really affects your mental health. So to your point, if you live in the inner city, urban community, maybe a little impoverished, that's going to affect you compared to living in the suburbs, being able to have these different things. So with that being said, do you think we'll ever have pastors, like you say, inner city pastors, being able to talk to maybe some of the suburban churches and find a common ground to where when we have these tough issues, we do need to be united. I agree with you wholeheartedly. At the end of the day, I thought we represent Jesus Christ first. We say we're ambassadors for Christ. So even when the political race comes up and the presidential campaign goes and everybody's like, oh, either you're left or you're right. No, I'm a believer first. Absolutely. I understand that I need to vote because I have responsibilities here, but that still doesn't separate me or make me not a believer just because I choose a particular party. Do you ever think it'll be a common ground to where we get to that place?
Yes, that's my hope. That is my hope. And I think, it won't be an easy path. And I think we kind of communicate that in the movie too. Like, it's work, man. Like, it's hard. One, humbling yourself. And sometimes it's just hard to listen because, like, we live in echo chambers, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're, let's just say, if you're a Democrat, you have, liberal views, you're in the echo chamber, and that's the only thing you hear. If you're right and conservative, Republican, like, you have that echo chamber. So it's like, politically, like, boom, like, there's that, you know, division. But I think that there's a lot of people who understand that this is a conversation that needs to be had. There's more ministries coming up around racial reconciliation that tackle these issues. So I definitely think we'll see more unification in the body around this topic. But it's definitely work to get there. It's not something that happens overnight, but I think... as you know, as time goes on and as we have more understanding or more tools like, a film or, television series, whatever, that will help carry the conversation, which is the reason I wrote the movie, is to help carry the conversation. It's not a one story fixes all. Like, the hope is that we can take another step. So, yeah, I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I'm hopeful too as well. Listen, you chose to, so it's one thing for you to make a movie faith-based. You talk about issues, social injustice. You talk about racial reconciliation, but you also you put the interracial dating in there. Like, why was the need to do that? Because I think you had enough in the storyline already that people are already, like you say, buzzing about with everything that's going on, social injustice, racism in the world and everything. So now you put it in a household to where two people have to deal with this every day, because I know it has to be some points in the film where they're out and I'm pretty sure somebody's probably saying harsh words or, looking at them funny.
Yeah, I thought the best way to handle it was through a love story. And it had to be a black person and a white person, because that's a conversation, right? I feel like tackling it from that point will help break down like some of those barriers, because at the end of the day, like, I would say most people, I would say most people don't care about the race of another person when it comes to romance. If true organic love exists, right? They're like, right on, cool. Probably not my thing, but keep going. Like, that's awesome. And I feel like a love story, coupled with music, would be the best to tackle the conversation. Because one, everyone can agree that, music is something that universally we can all connect to, right?
Yes.
And we've all have some type of affection for another person or love for another person. So that's why I wanted to talk about that. But also, like, there's just a ton of other things to explore in that controversy, which is why I did it too. Like, you look at a black, for instance, I grew up in the black church in Detroit, where gospel music just fuels everything, right? You got Motown gospel music. You have the Winans Family. Like, there's just so much richness to Detroit and gospel music. And then you have white contemporary Christian music as well. So musically, it kind of seems like it's divided, but however, those songs cross every now and then. And I kind of wanted to take black gospel, music, contemporary Christian music, and blend it together to see the beauty of it all. And that was the part of the choice to tackle it from a perspective of interracial couple.
How was it was to pick out the music, the artists and everything that you have throughout the soundtrack? Like, how hard was that? Where did you have, I hear what you just said as far as for trying to blend them together, but did you have certain artists that you wanted to reach out to say, okay, to bring this alive, I need such and such?
Yeah, so the Andrea Summer, who she wrote the music for the movie, and we partnered together in regards to how are we going to tackle this conversation. So it started at the script, as we're writing and we're looking at each character, and for the lead, Hugo, we just released a song of his, and it's about him being in the desert and he's just feeling weary, and he's he's lost. He doesn't know what to do with the current state of being a black male, a Christian, and in his city. So we looked at him and said, okay, what is he feeling in this moment? And therefore, we started to talk about some elements that could happen in the song, and the same thing with Mercy, the female lead. So it was we had a ton of collaborators, and we knew who we wanted to put where. But ultimately, it was really script focused. Every single sound you hear in the film was well thought out, well placed, because it had to. The music doesn't exist without the story. The story doesn't exist without the music, which is why we chose to make sure that each scene encompass both.
Did K-Drama collaborate on the song on this, or some songs?
He did. He has two songs on the soundtrack. Blue Skies is one of them that's actually releasing this Friday. You'll be able to download that on Spotify. And he has another song called Rooftops. And so for instance, Blue Skies actually is about Hugo's character, his inward struggle, and Rooftops is about how we can basically come together, what it looks like to be unified as one. So it was excellent having him be a part of the conversation as well.
Yeah, that's the brother. That's our brother, man. We appreciate K-Drama. He's a legend in Christian hip hop and with production and rapping for a long time. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, when this when people go and they sit and they watch the movie, what do you want them to take from this after they watch it?
Yeah, the number one thing I want people to take away from this is to be encouraged to go forth and be part of the solution to something that is, very difficult. A conversation that's very difficult to have. I think we need ambassadors in the church that will go out and say, hey, this is an issue within the church. And it's not just an issue. It's a very serious issue. And I think that's something that for a long time, we just kind of we need to come together, but there's really no actionable steps. But it's a real issue. At the root of it, it's hate. And, you know, just like lust is adultery, hate is murder. And, like, that shouldn't exist within the body of Christ. And, of course, like, you know, it's not perfect, right? We're still being, you know, sanctified. But, yeah, so that's my hope in regards to the conversation that moves forward after the movie releases.
Listen, we appreciate you rocking with us this morning, Craig. Can you tell the people how they can connect with you, following you on all your social media platforms, as well as tell the people when the movie's releasing and where to go for all the info to keep up to date with it?
Absolutely. You can follow me at Craig Lamar Brown. That's my handle on Instagram. And the movie is Between Mercy and Me. That's the handle for the movie. And you can find more information at betweenmercyandme.com. You can check your location, see where the movie is playing on June 20th. I think this is going to be a great celebration of Juneteenth as well, today after. And yeah, it's a movie you definitely want to see in theaters because the soundtrack is amazing. And you're going to want to have, you know, that full experience also with other brothers and sisters in Christ. So, yeah, it's like you can reach me and get more information about the movie.
We appreciate you, Craig, man. We are definitely in high anticipation of this movie releasing. I can't wait to see it. Listen, go support my brother, Craig Brown. This movie is going to be amazing. Listen, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Keep it locked. You're tuned into The Fix. You know The Fix is in.
Holy Culture Radio. Healing, hope, and how-tos.
Welcome back, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix right here on Sirius XM, Channel 154, Holy Culture Radio. We appreciate y'all rocking with us this morning. And listen, we're going to hop into this conversation. I know y'all come for that real. So we got a real talk topic today. Listen, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, what's the church's response to helping the homeless and helping foster care? You know, Dice, let's be very clear. This is it's a passion of mine to help not only the people who are lost and maybe spiritually lost, but also when you talk about people who are homeless specifically, and I know we're going to dive into as well foster care and everything that's going on with so many kids not having homes to be, you know, go home to. I've always had a passion to help men specifically, because of course that's where I usually draw to get back up from where they are, to let them know that they don't have to, you know, I get it, you know, life hits you, it's real, you know, for whatever reason you don't have a roof over your head, you don't have a job to go to, but you can change that if you choose to take the steps you need to take to get up. And that's always been a passion for me, because even though I was never homeless, I was spiritually dead for a long time, Dice. Somebody believed in me and somebody encouraged me. Seriously. I that's a good one too, as well. We might have to come talk about that, Dice. Which one is worse, being spiritually dead or you know what I'm saying? Being homeless. Cause I don't know. I think they're two different things, of course, but of course it's two, different ways you can look at it, because I was spiritually dead for a long time. I would argue that I grew up in church all my life. I didn't really grow a real personal relationship with Christ until I was about 27, 28 years old. Like, yeah, there was nothing there. So this is why I always had a passion for when my church started to go to the homeless shelter. The outreach ministry was the first thing I joined, because I said, do you guys go to shelters? Yes, we do. We go to shelters twice a month. Listen, sign me up for that. I want to be there. I want to sit down and have some conversations with them men and encourage those men that they can get up from where they are. So, this is something I do. I never even look to get paid for it. And I'm not saying people get paid for it, but I'm just saying, like, I would do this regardless. I told my wife, when I retire from radio, I say, that's the next thing I'm going to do until God calls us to heaven. I say, I would probably go to the shelters every day and just make sure I could help in some form of fashion, just because I really want to see people's lives change and allow for them to help them get back on their feet. And I know a lot of them just need the encouragement and not to be talked about in bad ways. And I've even gotten to some I ain't gonna say scuffles, but I've had some very heated discussions with some people who may have been looking down on somebody homeless and saying something to them or dogging them. Or, you know, I seen somebody do something totally disrespectful one day, Dice, and I promise you I had to check it. And I don't know why God always has me around, but I'm just minding my business. And I was at a rallies, and probably shouldn't have been in no way, but yeah, I was there. Eating this food I wasn't supposed to eat. So yeah, y'all can hold me accountable for that. This wasn't recent, but yes, this was some years ago. But at a rally, bought some food and just pulled in the parking lot. Usually I would, you know, roll off and eat. I said, nah, I'm gonna just park right here and knock this thing off real quick. So yeah, it was a man. You could clearly tell, you know, he probably was down on his luck, probably was homeless. Let's be very clear. Mm. You know, just because of his clothes and the way he looked, didn't look like he bathed in a while. And there was somebody that looked like they were having an exchange of words when they passed them. So, of course, you know, most homeless people, they you know, hey, can I, you know, they usually, you know, ask for money or something, blah, 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 blah. So I guess this particular gentleman, he was hungry. So somebody was going through and actually asked the man, you know, obviously there was an exchange of words of, you know, okay, I don't have no money, but I'm going to get you something to eat. Mm-hmm. So the gentleman brought him something to eat out, and I guess the gentleman, because I'm hearing it, so I got my windows down in the summertime, so I am hearing some of the conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing that, you know, I can't eat beef, I can only eat chicken, is what the guy said. So to me, and this is the person that was homeless was telling the person that was bought him the meal, mm-hmm. I can only eat chicken, I can't eat beef. Mm-hmm. So he bought him a burger. You know, yeah. Fries and drink and whatnot. So the person that bought it instantly got mad, mm-hmm. got an attitude, chewed him out,
yeah,
and pretty much shoved him.
Yeah.
And I was like, bro, I hopped out the car. I'm like, bro, that ain't cool, man. That ain't it. Like, yeah, come on, man. That ain't it. You know, the man clearly said he can only eat chicken for whatever reason. Mm. Listen, it is his fault. He should have probably told you that before he went in, but he didn't. I mean, come on, look, yeah, he down on his luck right now. So, yeah, me and this guy get into it, whatever, whatever. Once I stood up, I hate to say it, Dice, but it is what it is. A lot of people, you know, they talk real aggressive to a certain extent, but then when I open the car door and I stand up, and they get a look at me. No, seriously, it's something about when they get a look at me, Dice. See, I believe this joke alone, because I don't know if I brought my lunch, my lunch, my dinner, and my snack to take care of this big joke. Did I bring my thing with me? I ain't bring my thing. Yeah, you won, big bro. You won, big bro. Yeah. When I stood up and came around that car door a little bit, he got a hold of me. Yeah. So it went from real aggressive, Dice, to all right, I understand what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah, I'm gone, though. I did what I could do. So you're absolutely right. You did what you could do. So I went into that rallies and I bought the man the chicken sandwich.
Okay.
And I brought back to him. And long and behold, Dice, he wasn't faking. He ate the chicken sandwich. So for whatever reason, and he ate the fries and he drunk the drink from what the other guy got.
Yeah.
But the guy just couldn't embrace that. He forgot to tell you maybe he got some he's allergic. Maybe he just don't eat beef. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The man is hungry. So yeah, you offered to buy him something to eat. He gonna sit out there and wait for you to bring him something to eat. He ain't thinking, oh, I forgot to tell him I only eat chicken. I don't eat beef, or I don't eat fish, or I got allergies to this, or what, you know, whatever it may be. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So yes, yeah, that ruffled me, and I shared that story because I would never act that way. I promise you, I would never act that way to somebody who is down on their luck. And that's what I like to call it. I don't like to call it homeless. I just say they down on their luck right now. They just need to get back up. They need encouragement to get back up. And I know I said a lot, and I know you got plenty of stories to share about this, and we got to dive into the scripture too as well. We know Matthew speaks on helping the homeless, helping the incarcerated, and everything that goes into that. So yeah, we gonna put some Bible on that thing too as well today. But yeah, what you?
I mean, I think those are really good examples of how we treat homeless people or people who are lesser in our eyes than we are. But I think the main thing we need to remember is, Jesus was broke when he first got here. Now, the man ended up getting a piece of change because people started to pour in, you know, to the point we had to have Judas with the money bag because somebody got to carry all this money, you know. But when he came here, he didn't have anything. You know, he was born into an impoverished family. Like, they couldn't get anywhere to stay to even bring him into this world. You know, like, they had to go give an offering at the temple when he was born. And you're supposed to take lambs. They couldn't afford lambs. They took two doves because they was broke. Like, everybody don't have everything. It's hard for us, though. It's the mental health part for me, you know, and for those of you who, I don't know, maybe we connected in Atlanta, that when my husband met me, that's what I did every single weekend, is I fed the homeless. Regardless, I would go to the C room. I get off work tired, go to the C room, do my show. And I wouldn't even drive home. I drive to Publix and I'd wait till they open at 5, because we get out of C room about 3:30. I just drive and hang out in the back until they, with my son, and we both waited. I had a van. And then I got all the produce and all the things that, you know, Publix got the jump. Like, they got everything fire. And then I would head to the West End. That was my routine every single weekend. And it taught me, homeless people, they just like you. They just ain't got nowhere to go. You know what I'm saying? And after a while, you being homeless, it wears on your mental. You know what I'm saying? And everybody's homeless for different reasons. I think that's the problem that people don't see. Like, people aren't homeless just because they're choosing to be homeless. Sometimes people get cheated out of a house that they thought they was gonna have after their husband or wife died, but they done signed their house off to the auntie or the uncle. Somebody that came in their 80s and then had them switch power of attorney, and now they ain't even got nowhere to go. You know what I'm saying? And that was the last living relative. Like, stuff like that really happens, where it's like, okay, where do I go? And then shelters are only shelter you for so long. You know what I mean? Shelters are only shelter a certain type of individual. So people who do have mental challenges where they struggle trying to comprehend things, sometimes a shelter won't even keep you because you're a danger to the rest of the people there in their eyes. You know what I'm saying? Because they can't treat you and shelter you. It's like, we can only do one. You know what I'm saying? If you need treatment, you got to go to a treatment center, but they don't have no money for a treatment center. So they on the street. And then you have some people who are just, they got out of the sex trade. Ain't nowhere to go, but I'd rather be homeless than in the sex trade. So I'll take my little tent and I'll be mobile. I'll be a little nomad out here. So it's like, the problem for me, the problem with our society is we don't realize every single household that is one paycheck away from being homeless literally is one paycheck away from being on the street. So we talk about it like it's a joke, but over 50% of Black and brown households run on one paycheck away. So it's like, it's a serious epidemic. And you and I both know, if you think about half of your friends, ain't nothing wrong with half of your friends. Ain't nothing wrong with half of my friends. But half of my friends could be on the street next week, depending on how they pay their bills or don't. So that's why I'm like, the homeless thing is, and this is for teens, youth, older people. It's not new. It's an epidemic, but the Bible was very clear that the church was designed to take care of the widows and the homeless. Why are we not doing that? Why are we not doing that? But I brought up something, and I thank you for being like, hey, we need to talk about that. Shout out to Pastor Tony. Shout out to Now Faith in Atlanta, Georgia. But one of the things Pastor Tony from Now Faith does is he has something at his house all during the week where he feeds the homeless. Like, and he would invite us as artists and entertainers, and we would entertain them. We do comedy, we do music, we would feed them, the whole nine. Like I said, I had the hookup from Publix, so I got the whole van full of snacks, bread, even greens, beans, fresh produce. Like I said, Publix, like stuff that just passed that one day they got to get rid of. So this is something that every single person who says they belong to a church, you should be serving in a ministry that gives back. Even if you're either at a shelter, either you on the streets, either you picking up the food from the Whole Foods, Publix, Kroger, wherever, whatever that grocery store is in your city, you should be taking care of people. And if you're a Christian, you extra should be taking care of people. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is it's a part of our calling. We're called to do this. And it's like, we can't despise the homeless. Like, we are to have mercy on them. We're to love on them. We're to support them. These are things we're commanded to do. Jesus definitely talked about this all the time. That's what he was adamant about, was taking care of the lesser than. And not just with the food focus, sometimes with the hey, you need counseling. You got to change your mindset. because just because you're homeless doesn't mean you can't be unhomeless. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can change, but sometimes it takes a person to just kind of come and sow that seed and tell you, like, don't give up. Don't give up. I like you brought up the fact that would I rather be poor in spirit or what do you say, on the street? Or
yeah, right.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's a tough one, though, ain't it?
No, not for me. The way I love the Lord, I'd rather have Jesus and be homeless than not. I'm not even joking, bro. I don't have the peace. Like, here's the thing. And this is how you know. You have people out here. They killing themselves every day. And they got everything. They got all the houses on the mountains, the vacation homes, the boats, the yachts. Their kids are famous. And they have no peace. So they done worked their whole life. They done worked their whole entire life slaving, giving up time, not sleeping. You know, people talking about them, they're fighting through with zero amount of peace. And so they just go take a rope and just shut that down real quick because they ain't got no peace.
Yeah, that's real.
No salvation, no peace. Are you kidding me? That's why the Bible's very clear about, listen, it's hard to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's hard when you got a lot because you're leaning in. You think all your money and your riches is what's making you you, but you have yet to reckon with the fact that God created you and the purpose that God created you is not one you're living in right now. It's hard to reckon with that. So it's like, no. Give me the peace of God above everything. I've met some people, and you and I both know, especially if you're from the hood, you know that person in the hood, they got more wisdom and they homeless than anybody in the house. And they can spit and give you a word in a hot lick of a moment. And you'd be like, why is this man homeless? You're like, you're sitting there like, why is this person home? Like, they know, like, they will pour into you and give you a whole word that inspires you for the rest of your life because they get it. But anyway,
no, that's good. That's good. They do get it. Listen, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. Listen, you see where this convo going. You don't touch that dial. We be right back. We got to go pay some bills. Keep it locked. You're tuned into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Holy Culture Radio is operated by the Core Link Solution, a 501c ministry dedicated to empowering people to reach their potential. If you feel led to contribute to this mission, visit www.holyculture.net/donations.
And we back, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tune back into The Fix right here on Holy Culture Radio. And we are having a good conversation this morning. Just talking about, listen, the church's response to homeless, to foster care and helping with getting some of these babies out of these foster homes. And forgive me. Foster care and getting them into loving homes. Hey, what was they called? What was that? I'm trying to think. When I was young, I feel like it was called something else.
What's that?
I had a mental breakdown.
It's mental health.
Yeah, it's mental health month. No, I'm trying to think. Right. Listen, Dice. I lost my train of thought. I'm trying to think. Adoption centers. Listen, that's what I was talking about. Adoption agencies, adoption centers. When you talk about foster care and getting the kids home, yeah, you had to, you know, go and apply to adopt a child in the first place. But as we see now, like, there's not a lot of loving parents even going to try to adopt kids now, Dice, huh?
I'll be honest, some of them might be safer. Listen, mental health is a big thing. it's true, Focus. Everybody can't take
what the kids gonna do to, wait a minute, Dice, you ain't gonna, this ain't no scary movie. Now you can't just do that, Dice. Wait a minute. We're trying to give people some substance real quick, and you thinking of a scary movie. Don't go pick that little kid up. that little kid gonna cut your neck when you go to sleep. Listen, pray for us. We just joking. We are just joking, y'all.
I'm just saying, no. Trust me, it's, yeah. Since we're talking statistics, let's go ahead and be honest. And for those of you who work in the system, you work for Child Protective Services or whoever else, y'all know I'm not about to misquote you. There's a process for people who want to care for kids, and there's a process for the kids that have to, you know, go to a foster home. And the reason why there is a process there is because we do have a huge part of society that has mental health issues. So everybody can't take care of a child who's come from an abusive household. Everybody can't take care of a child who has had to go on the street to find food or dig in trash cans. Everybody can't take care of a child of a different race who don't know their father or their mother. Everybody is not equipped for that. So it's a prayerful thing when you think, hey, I want to adopt a kid. Okay, well, you need to go on and pray to Jesus. One, God, is that something you want me to do? And two, send me the right people. And three, send me the right resources in order to help them all the way through their life. So this ain't a, you go adopt a kid and that's it. Like, this is your kid. Just like if you went and had a kid, it's your baby. And you're going to take care of this kid for a while, you know, until they can get on their own and handle life on their own. But, you know, it is what it is. But Proverbs is very clear. Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. There is an expectation that we will help our poor, that we will help the fatherless, you know, and the motherless. And obviously, like I said, the widows, we as the church, we are to make a space that includes people. In Georgia, I was telling you this, I forgot to tell you this, but there is a church and there's one that we work with where homeless could stay there all night long. They have lockers. They have an address. They had food. They had water. They were able to change and do that. But the expectation was they had to go out in the day and find a job or find work, you know, but they had a place to lay their head and they had safety and they had the address, because you got to have an address to get paid or to get a job or something like that. And I love, this is one of the reasons why I love ATL, because I'm like, yeah, you need more places like this where, yeah, maybe we have service on Sunday. That's fine. You know what I'm saying? And obviously our homeless and widows, they should be at church on Sunday, but they actually live here. So you guys come here once a week and they stay here all week. Yeah, and we take care of them. And the money that you give us, we help to go buy food for them. So it's a perfect system God set up, but we just don't do it. Why? We don't want them in our space. We don't want them, you know, why not? And it's just like, we, if you're not homeless, you have to have a different mindset. Like, even for me, I'll give you a good example, focus, because I know we got to run into, you know, everything else Jesus has to say about this. I remember the first time I did an event at Pastor Tony's house, because it was his house that he opened up for us to be at. I saw one of the guys went in the kitchen to go get some food, but he didn't wash his hands. And, you know, I'm so, in my Christian, I'm so perfect. I said, we don't think we need to ask him to maybe, like, wash his hands, you know what I'm saying? And Pastor Tony said, if he washes his hands, he's not going to feel normal when he leaves here. Mm. And I was like, what? He's homeless, Dice. He lives his whole life where there is no water. So you want him to conform to your regular thing because you're in here. But his regular thing is there are no sinks. Ain't no water. He's outside all the time. He barely gets to eat. He sleep on the ground. I'm gonna need you to let him just go ahead and get his food and go sit down. You know, he kind of had to check me, like, this ain't for you to go make him be the way you want him to be right now. You need to go on in there, grab your microphone and do what you came to do and let me do what I came. You know what I'm saying? But even I had to just be like, I'm not here to make the homeless people live the way I live. I'm here to help them, serve them, love on them, make them laugh, make them sing. I'm here to serve. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard for us to get in that mentality of, you go serve and show love. You know what I'm saying? Show up first before you try to go correct somebody. And this is something we do. We do this so bad in Christendom. We forever trying to check somebody. It's like, why don't you just show up and love on somebody who's poorer than you, who don't have what you have? Give them a shirt off your back. Give them the shoes out of your closet. Y'all heard you say this before. Jacket, shirt, shoes, here. What do you need? Let me help you now. You know, like, let me help you feel more like a human than less than. And that's where we got to get to. So that's my rant. But let these statistics, though, and you are in Cleveland, over 24,000 plus people a day are homeless where you are. And you said it off break. You was like, man, we got a stadium here to seat that many people. Like, it's hard to imagine that many people are homeless. Same thing for here in Chicago, over 100,000 people homeless. Wow. And 75% of them are African American, which is insane to me. And it's like if we hadn't even been talking about it today, I'm like, what? So there are things that we're called to do we're called to do as Christians. I don't know about everybody else. I'm just saying we in the faith, and it's in our Bible, for those of you who would like to dodge that bullet, you don't get to dodge that bullet. Okay. And 1 John 3:17-18 says, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. There has to be action behind our love. You know, there has to be some push behind what we say. Oh, God bless you. Well, God bless you. Open your wallet too. God bless me. Open your wallet too. Yes. God bless you. Okay. Drop me off down the street. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, mental health plays a huge role in this, because we have this fear that homeless people might do something to us, or they got something and all that. But I'll be honest with you, half the time they don't even want nothing from you but to eat. I promise
you. That's real. That's all they really want from you.
I just want to eat today. If I could eat today, I could think today. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I can eat, I can think, and then I can make a choice of where I'm going to go next or what I got to do next. But that food part is like number one. And obviously shelter probably be number one for some people. But I'm saying a lot of people, it's just, I can eat and find somewhere to go stay, you know?
No, that's real. And I think too, as well, I'm glad you brought that up. A lot of people have this wrong mentality that they want something from you outside of just, listen, they just want a meal today. Yeah, and then if they do want a few dollars, what's a few dollars? I see so many people waste money. I've seen people go out to lunch, mm-hmm. buy a meal, didn't like the meal, maybe took a bite out of the meal and throw the whole meal away. And I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, that's probably about $15 easy that you just threw away. But if you was to walk past a homeless person that asked you for something to eat, You turn your nose up, and that's a form of wickedness. I wanted to bring that up because the Bible is very clear that God created us all in his image, and that it does not matter a person's social status. Mm-hmm. We are not to exploit or oppress anybody who might be a little poorer than you, mm-hmm. or, you know, you might think is a little weaker than you. No, that's not our job to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a form of wickedness. No, show love. Mm-hmm. I'd rather you go past that person, don't say nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, don't say nothing.
Yeah.
And stop with the harsh names. I see people too as well, and I'm just speaking because this is what I see, Dyson. I have to check these people sometimes. Mm-hmm. Don't be calling them bums and you know, and I can't say the other words, but mm-hmm. yeah, that's one that's always, man, I ain't giving none of that bum. No. Stop saying mm-hmm. stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Because Lord, I pray that you never get down on your luck and you mm-hmm. be in that place to where mm-hmm. you need a hand out or you need somebody to help you in some form or fashion and see if God don't be mocked. Because God loves the homeless. God, mm-hmm. all, like you said, to your point, God, I mm-hmm. think was, let's be very clear. Jesus could have been born anywhere he wanted to be. God.
Yeah.
His father up there listening to him since he'd been born. Right, but he chose to be, like you said, born and walk the streets of mm-hmm. the impoverished mm-hmm. or the people mm-hmm. who didn't have it. Mm-hmm. He could have been in a palace anywhere he wanted to be. Let's be very clear.
Just the fact he was like, yeah, I'll roll through down there. He was broke. Because is an absolute change in your financial status when you're like, I'm going to leave the comforts of these stars and Milky Ways and go deal with these folk down here. Oh, Jesus. So, I mean, it's good stuff, but there's blessing in it. And I'm not saying you should help people because there's blessing in it, but there's blessing in it. God does bless the people who have a heart. Isaiah 58:10 says, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. That's how bright it'll be. So even you, like, blessed are those that give. I mean, we don't have to go down to Beatitudes right now, but I'm just saying it's a fact that when you help others, there's a blessing on the other side of that. And that blessing typically comes at a time when you needed it or in a way that you just didn't expect it. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, give unto others and it shall be given unto you. So those of you who begging God right now for something, oh God, why ain't you bless me? Why ain't you help me with that business? Why ain't you help me to break through this? Why ain't you did this in my relationship? Maybe you need to go help somebody else.
Yes,
I don't mean helping your sister who need $5 for diapers every week because she's safe. I'm talking about going to an unsafe place, a shelter, or like for those of you who from the street, because only if you're from the street, listen, will you be comfortable out there? Yeah, walk down the street, go and give away $100, you know, real fast.
some of them who ain't from the street need to be uncomfortable too as well. I keep telling y'all, this Bible is uncomfortable. Dice, when you read this word every morning like me, we don't want to just do this. We gonna talk about this feelings and feeling a conversation later this week too as well, because I don't feel like doing everything God has commanded me to do. I'm a kid. Y'all can act like y'all do. I don't. That's the beauty in it, is you being able to submit to him and do what he's called you to do. And I just want to leave with that serving spirit. We do need to serve more. Mark 10:45 clearly says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Mercy.
So listen, if Jesus Christ can serve, you can get your butt out here and serve too as well. So some of y'all, y'all been living in your suburban area, go down to the inner city and walk the streets. Down to, and take your husband with you. So take your family.
Take your Clippers. Take your Clippers with you. Quit playing games. Y'all got the charged up Clippers with the battery in it. Take your Clippers. Yes. It don't have to just be with your money. It could be with your talent. You know what I'm saying? If it's something you know how to do, another thing, and it's summertime, folks, y'all going to clean out your closet, because I know y'all about to go shopping. Some people need clothes. So serve. And the service don't have to just be with you, going to buy them a lunch at the most expensive restaurant downtown. But it can be, hey, you need a new tent. You need a new rug up in here. Let me go get you a couple of gallons of water up in here. Let me go get you the disposable wipes that they have at the Walmart up in here. You can serve very differently. And these are items that people need. And here's another thing. Go ask somebody what they need and then go buy it and come back. Show up like that, because people have been praying and believing God for somebody to come check on them. And I'm trying to tell you, you could change their whole life. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Just by taking an hour out of your day and saying, let me go give an hour of my day to get off of Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that. And it's no disrespect to them, but I need to take a social fast. Go to the grocery store, and even if it's Cheetos, you roll up on me with some Cheetos right now and I love you for life. Okay. But I'm just saying, go get you some stuff, go downtown, like Fogo was saying, be uncomfortable and go love on somebody you don't know and leave it. God, I hope you bless me for that. No, I hope you ain't got to bless me for that. God, I owe you. I haven't given enough and I need to give more. And the rich and poor are to be together. Like, we are to live together in community, and we got to get better with that. And we're called to be that. So giving, it will be given unto you. Luke 6:38, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run it over, it will be poured out into your lap. Okay. For the measure that you use, it will be given. This measure will be given back to you, but y'all got to start giving.
Yes.
You got to start giving. So go serve somebody.
Please serve. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. We got to go pay some bills. We're coming back with closing thoughts. Keep it locked. You tuned into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix, your source of faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. And we appreciate y'all waking up with us this morning. Another fun show in the books, Dice. I appreciate our brother Craig Brown coming by and just talking about his film. He's the writer and director of Between Mercy and Me. It's a must watch film for all who desire to learn more about having an honest conversation and an authentic conversation about race, the impact of racial division within America, and the church's response to social injustice and racism in America. I'm excited about this, because like I say, he hits it from a faith-based standpoint of these are supposed to be, everybody in the movie is a sold-out believer, a regular churchgoer, a regular server in the community. Mm-hmm. And he uses an interracial couple, he uses interracial dating as the main storyline of how we have to deal with racism in America, and then also too as well how the church's response to racism in America with this interracial couple who are dating each other and go through everything each and every day dealing with everything that goes into that. We know, you have some that love people and okay with it, but we still have racism in America just because it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue, and we know we're going to constantly have to deal with it, because I don't think we ever going to get to a place to where people won't have malice in their hearts about interracial dating and everything that goes into it. I don't have an issue with it at all, Dice. I can speak from a personal perspective. who you love is who you love, you know, and I'm okay with that. I mean, you know,
say that.
Stay over there where you're at. I just, you know, it is tough.
Some people don't even know they're racist. That's the crazy part. Mm. I mean, and then you got to ask yourself why, and then you do have to really ask God to help you with that, you know. No Christian should be racist at all, you know. So I know this is going to be good to watch. It's going to be real good to watch.
Absolutely. Woo. It actually will hit movie theaters June 20th. So you can go to betweenmercyandme.com to keep up with the theaters that it will launch at. And we're looking forward to, watching this movie. Like I said, I can't wait to it to drop because I want to watch it too as well. Listen, that real talk was it was different today, Dice.
Well, I mean, we got to own our parts, you know. I mean, that's what we're here for. We're supposed to be taking care of our people. We're supposed to be taking care of people who are having a challenge taking care of themselves. And we will get to a point one day where we realize that, because we won't, you know, we won't be able to run from the issue. I think we've been able to kind of run from the issue. But if you have to turn the news on, or if you watch TV nowadays, you already know the issue's coming to our front porch. And if we would just handle it the biblical way, we wouldn't even be in this situation, I'll be honest. So it's time to just change and get better as a community. And I'm excited to talk about those things. I know these are tough subjects. I know some people are like, man, you guys really be holding us accountable. Yeah. I'm going to hold myself accountable too, though. So it's like, you know, as I'm going through what I'm going through, I love sharing the stories too of how you can help. So I think that's what I really liked about today's talk was, we weren't just bashing people, but we were like, these are some ways that you can actually show up and be of service to others. And we should be serving, not just in church, but also in our community. So,
No, I agree. Absolutely. Serving in our communities as well as showing the love of Christ. Let's be very clear. That's the issue that I brought up that I constantly have with people who try to, you know, get down on people who might be down on their luck right now. Mm-hmm. I don't like to call them names. I just feel like they're down on their luck, and I believe God can redeem them and get them back up from where they are. So let's continue to show the love of Christ, because you never know. That could be you. You know, everything is up right now. You don't know what state or place you might be in if life really hits you and you get to a place where maybe you might be, you know, down on your luck. So yeah, shouts out to everybody that's continuing to help. I know I have a passion for helping some people that are, you know, in homeless shelters. I spoke about it a lot, of just going to homeless shelters and being able to speak with men and just encourage them and try to give them resources to get themselves back up. So I'm going to continue to do my part, Dice. Mm-hmm. And I know you're going to continue to do your part too as well. That's right. Listen, I know a lot of people were talking pretty much all weekend about Pastor Tim Keller too as well. Weren't they, Dice?
Yeah, they were. I mean, until his death, and God, you know, may his soul rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew he was a great pastor, but I had no idea how many books this man has written. So I understand why people were like, no, this is a big deal. So Pastor Timothy James Keller, neo-Calvinist pastor, theologian, Christian apologist, and he was the chairman and co-founder of Redeemer Church. So I think he started that in Pennsylvania, and it's just been all over the world. But his books are some of the number one books, some of the number one Christian books ever written. So, you know, prayers up and out to his family. And this man was all about education. So I actually want to get some of these books now for real. So I don't know, this man was highly, highly educated. Westminster. He went to Conwell. Bucknell. He's been to all the nail schools. I mean, he's just the Gospel Coalition organizer. I didn't even know that. Like, so he started out in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and he's just been doing his thing since 1972, just with the writing, you know. So, man, y'all check out some of his work. You know, that's the good thing about leaving your gift here. Whatever, it's for other people. We talk about that all the time. It's not for him to take all that with him. So I'm glad he definitely was constantly emptying himself of the things God was showing him. So, yeah, I'm going to catch up on some of these books.
Yeah, I need to catch up too as well. I was not familiar with a lot of his writings as well. So I'm going to catch up too as well. Mm-hmm. And that's the beautiful thing about it. When someone, leaves this knowledge behind, it is our responsibility to catch up. Mm-hmm. And make sure we continue to educate ourselves and feed the brain. Let's be very clear. Mm-hmm. Reading feeds the brain.
Come on now.
Knowledge is always power. Mm-hmm. So that's why we need to read our Bibles daily to continue to get this word in us, get this knowledge in us.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, I'm excited to as well to read some of his books. Listen, that's our time for the day. We got to get out of here. Listen, Tiptoe Tuesday going to be off the hook. When I tell you this real talk conversation that Dice going to have tomorrow, y'all, you listen. I every week I say, you know, we got these conversations that we have, but tomorrow's conversation, it's a must. It's a must. We're going to talk about consistency. Ooh. That's what's wrong. Staying consistent.
That's what's wrong.
You need to tap in. No, because some of y'all need to stay consistent in a lot of areas of your life.
Oh.
So you definitely want to tap in. Tomorrow we will have another great spiritual detox. Well, I ain't going to tell you, but yes, he a preacher. I promise you, he going to come over here and preach. But yes, tap in with us tomorrow. Listen, go out and be great today, kings and queens. Continue to show the love of Christ, because that's what Christ wants you to do. Listen, you are an ambassador of Christ. Let's be very clear. You pick up your cross daily. So with that comes a great responsibility. So let's continue to get better. Let's grow. No one is perfect, but let's grow each and every day. Jesus Christ is the example. I know he used a lot of example of, you know, prophets and priests and kings and queens in the Bible. But I think the main focus we need to focus on is more being more holy like Jesus.
There we go.
I think we're in a season right now. That's what we just need to be more holy. I ain't knocking what Paul and them did. I ain't knocking what Peter and them did. And Timothy, I ain't knocking them. I'm not saying it's not important. What Noah and Moses did, yeah, absolutely is important. But Jesus is the example. Let's be more like Jesus.
I love that.
Listen, until tomorrow, stay focused on turning your negative into a positive. Jesus Christ is always the example. Kingdom advancement should always be the goal. The fix is in. We out.
Peace, y'all.